Good morning, everyone. With an endorsement from the St. Thomas Session, I have been enrolled in a lay preaching course called Cultivating the Gift of Preaching. It is sponsored by the Synod of the Covenant, which is the governing body for our presbytery. It's an 18-month course. It started in June of this year, and it ends in November of next year. And I want to thank Pastor Greg and the worship committee for allowing me to preach here this morning. The gospel reading today contains more parables from Jesus. This is the third week in a row that the lectionary has us preaching on Jesus' parables. So I'll be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, 31 to 33, and 44 to 52. Listen now for the word of God. He, being Jesus, told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it becomes the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in a large amount of flour until it mixed through all the dough. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought the field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but the bad they threw away. This is how it will be at the end of age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Good and perfect Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, open our eyes and our hearts to your word. Give us understanding so that we can obey your word with all of our heart. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light for our path. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the sermon today is Kingdom of Heaven. I recently had to reset a password on one of my online accounts. This new password has to be 18 characters long. I'm so old, I'll never remember those 18 characters. It has to have uppercase and lowercase letters, numbers, and a special character. It's complicated. I can't remember it, so I had to write it down. Things that are long, complex, and complicated are hard to remember. This is not an example of the slogan called KISS, which means keep it simple, silly. It means don't make things complicated. I now refer to these parables from Jesus with my own version of KISS. Kept it simple, Savior. Jesus uses everyday common things like planting seeds, making bread, looking for things of great value, knowing the difference between good and evil, seeking to understand, obey God's word, when he taught in parables. Jesus tells us 6 short parables in only 9 verses in this lectionary reading, and the phrase kingdom of heaven is in every one of them. And I have learned that when the Bible repeats something 3 times, it's really important. Jesus reported it 6 times, so it must be really, really important. But what is Jesus trying to teach us? The first parable, Jesus talks about a mustard seed that grows into a large garden plant. But a mustard plant in biblical times was a fast-growing weed that farmers would pull from the field. So in today's world today, Jesus would say, the kingdom of heaven is like dandelions growing in your grass. I don't like dandelions growing in my grass. The second parable, Jesus talks about a woman mixing a small amount of yeast in a large amount of dough. But in biblical times, yeast was considered unclean or something evil. In preparation for Passover, a woman would clean her house, and if she found 1 speck of yeast, it would be considered unclean for Passover. And in Jewish tradition, the rising of yeast represented pride, ego, corruption, and emphasizing self-importance, the exact opposite of humbling yourself before God. In the third parable, a man finds a hidden treasure in a field, then hides it. In his joy, he sells everything and he buys the field, which means he was trespassing when he found this hidden treasure. In the fourth parable, a merchant finds a pearl of great value. He went away and sold everything and bought it. Kind of sounds like a duplicate of the third one, doesn't it? In the fifth parable, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net thrown into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. Jesus explained that one in the parable, so I think I get that one. In the last parable, Jesus asked the disciples, do you understand these parables? And the disciples say, yes, we do. But do they really? The disciples were always asking Jesus to explain things to them in private. And I have to admit, after reading 5 of these 6 parables from Jesus during my sermon prep time, I had no clue what Jesus was trying to teach us through these parables. In our preaching course that I'm taking, the first advice they gave us was to read the scriptures before and after the lectionary reading to give you a better understanding, to give you a bigger scope of what the message is trying to be said. So I did, and I discovered that Jesus explained to the disciples the meaning of the parable of the sower, and he explained the meaning of the parable of the weeds. But he didn't provide an explanation in 5 of these 6 parables. So I said, Jesus, why didn't you explain these parables in the Bible to make my first sermon easier? As I was struggling to understand these parables, I began to doubt my faith. Because Jesus said, the secrets to the kingdom of God have been given to you. But to those on the outside, to those unbelievers, to those Pharisees, everything was said in parables so that they may see but not perceive and hear but not understand. My frustration and doubt grew as the time was ticking away and the time drew near for my sermon to be delivered. But I kept trusting God. I kept praying, God, I know you will give me what to say. And I would say, God, I can't wait for you to pull me through this one like you have every other time in my life. I was thanking God in advance. Then 2 things were the turning point for me. The first one was when I was reading the study notes in my Bible on the parable of the sower in Luke, and I found this nugget of truth. These hidden meanings challenged the sincerely interested, which was me, to further inquiry, keep studying, and taught the truths that Jesus wanted to conceal from the unbelievers. And the second one was a little devotion called Don't Overthink It. In my career as an engineer, I was trained to analyze and overanalyze and look at every aspect in the design details. And this was causing me to get lost in the details. I then did some research, and I found out that the kingdom of heaven is only used in the Gospel of Matthew. In the rest of the New Testament, it refers to the kingdom of God, and in the Old Testament, they call it the kingdom, but they all mean the same. And then I thought, where else do we use the Lord's, the kingdom of heaven? And God brought to my mind the Lord's Prayer. We say this line all the time, and I've said it before, and it really struck a chord in me this time. The kingdom of God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom will come when God's will is done, and God's will is done when we are obedient to him. And it also says the kingdom of heaven is on earth. In Mark, Jesus proclaims in the opening chapter, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Jesus' early earthly ministry was the beginning of the kingdom of heaven. He demonstrated the kingdom of heaven every time he healed the sick, reaches out to the outcasts, respects women, cares for the poor, and when he seeks, finds, and saves the lost souls. And one time, the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is. The kingdom of God is within you. Quoting Mary F. Foskett from the Westminster Bible Study, she says, the kingdom of God connotates a way of being, one aligned with God's rule and intention for creation. It is inherently countercultural, often opposing conventional norms. Furthermore, the kingdom of God is paradoxical. A paradox is something that seems completely self-contradictory or goes against the common sense, yet contains a hidden truth. It involves two seemingly opposite ideas or facts colliding in a way that is confusing but ultimately accurate and possible. Some biblical paradoxes are: the first will be last, and the last will be first. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. And in our reading this morning, there was a paradox. God asked Solomon in a dream, what do you want? Ask and it will be given to you. And Solomon asked God for understanding, to govern his people well and to know the difference between right and wrong. Most people would have asked for money, a long life, death for their enemies. But God was pleased with Solomon for asking for wisdom. Jesus uses a mustard seed, yeast, a potential thief, and a merchant to convey the kingdom of heaven. A tiny mustard seed can grow rapidly into a tall 15-foot tree and provide habitat for birds. God's kingdom has humble, nearly invisible beginnings, but will grow into something vast, powerful, significant, and it impacts the entire world. It is symbolic of a small gesture that can have an enormous impact on the kingdom of heaven. In the mustard seed parable, it does not say that the wind blew the seed into the field, or like in the explanation of the parable of the weeds, that the devil planted the seed. It says, a man planted the seed in his field. That means the man planted it on purpose. God has a purpose for your life. He or someone else is planting seeds in your heart. Why? Because we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God will make the seeds planted in your heart grow and bear fruit for his kingdom. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman mixing a small amount of yeast into a large amount of dough. Just as invisible yeast silently permeates and leavens the whole dough, God's kingdom starts off small, grows invisibly, and transforms the world. Jesus also likened the role of women in building the kingdom of heaven. When yeast is mixed in the dough, there's nothing to stop it from permeating the whole loaf. Another meaning for this parable is the kingdom of heaven began during Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus taught and mentored women. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, and 3,000 people were added to the numbers. And today, there's 2.3 billion Christians here in the world. The kingdom of heaven will keep on growing, and nothing will stop it until it overtakes the entire world. In the parable of the hidden treasure, the man was intentionally seeking the kingdom of heaven. And when he found it, he could have taken it. Nobody knew it was there, but he put it back. But because the land where he found it was not his. God has not revealed to me the secret as to why this man found that hidden treasure on someone else's land. It will require further study, and if I figure it out, I'll share it in a future sermon. But I do know these parables about the hidden treasure and the merchant reveal the same truth. The kingdom of heaven is of such great value, one should give up everything he or has to gain it. And it doesn't mean you can buy it or earn it with good deeds. In conclusion, the kingdom of heaven is a present reality when we repent, believe, and live our lives according to the way Jesus taught us in the Bible, caring for widows and orphans, feeding people who are food insecure, defending the marginalized, loving our enemy, and go telling the world all about him. It is also a future hope with the promise of eternal life for all believers. When I was on the PNC, and when we would meet a new candidate, we would always share something personal. And I would always share how this church taught my whole family to discover their spiritual gifts and use them. And if I had to do it all over, I'd share the same thing. And I would say, this church has brought the kingdom of heaven into my family. Thanks be to God. Amen.